Senator Paul Shimp. Senator, how have you been, Paul? Good?
I've been good, Tom. It's been too long since I've been on the phone with you.
Yeah, way too long. But which, on the other hand, look at it this way. It gives us a lot of stuff to catch up on.
It does. It does. There's a lot going on. I just probably ought to explain to why I haven't been on your program as much. The reason for that is I was under consideration for a federal judge position, and as part of that process, they had asked me to limit some of my public speaking. So every time that I did a radio interview, that was in addition to my Senate Judiciary questionnaire. So that process is over with now. So I'm going to be able to talk with you with a little bit more frequency
and candor too, I believe.
I've always tried to, put the cards on the table and let you know what I think about stuff.
All right, so what about the State of the State address? And very often people listen to the State of the State address and they go, why aren't we talking about the budget? Because there's a budget address that'll, I think, be next Wednesday. I think that's the 19th. But first, State of the State, takeaways on success and failures in the first year of the Pritzker administration.
Well, I want to start by saying something nice. I'm glad that Governor Pritzker gave a positive, aspirational speech. I think it's very important that we remember that no matter what challenges we face in Illinois, what's right about Illinois can fix everything that's wrong with our state. So I did appreciate the fact that it was a positive speech, but I also felt like the speech left a lot out. I think it only gave us half of the picture. What I would have liked to have seen from the governor is I would have liked to have seen him talk about the challenges that our state is facing, because we are facing some very, very significant long-term budget challenges and economic challenges, and Governor Pritzker didn't really mention that at all.
When it comes to those challenges, which ones are we talking about here? I mean, because we have a long list, including pensions, but we also, still running deficit spending. It looks like they say balanced budget, but whenever you've got $6.2 billion in unpaid bills, the fact that we're collecting a lot of money. I mean, you look at this, Paul, the governor's conference in Washington, D.C., and Politico is asking about the progressive taxes. And he says, look, if we don't get the progressive taxes okayed in November, then we'll have to have 15% across the board cuts.
Well, there's a lot to talk about in the points that you just raised, but since you finished on the progressive income tax, that's something that I think deserves a lot of discussion. What the governor is proposing with the progressive income tax is, I think he's looking at a tax. He believes that he'll be able to raise an additional $3 billion a year for the progressive income tax, which I don't know that I buy off on that. I think that has some very rosy assumptions. But the fact is, even if the progressive income tax were to go through, that's not going to solve our fiscal challenges. The governor's own Office of Management and Budget projects that over the next 5 years, the next five upcoming years, our bill backlog is going to rise to over $19 billion from about the $6 billion that we have right now. And that's completely in addition to the unfunded pension liability, which our comptroller just recently pegged at $138 billion. So the governor's progressive income tax isn't even going to close the bill backlog down, and it doesn't do anything about the unfunded pension liability. So it's really, I think, irresponsible for the governor to be touting this progressive income tax proposal as some kind of magic beans that's going to fix our budget challenges in Illinois. But the real problem that we have, and the thing that I was the most disappointed that Governor Pritzker did not mention in his State of the State speech, and I think, frankly, it was irresponsible for him not to mention that, was the fact that we are still hemorrhaging population in Illinois. Everything, all of our problems go back to the point that nobody wants to come to Illinois anymore to start a business or to raise a family. In fact, the opposite is true, and over the last 10 years, our net domestic population loss has been 856,000 people. That's almost a billion people have left our state over the net amount is almost a billion people that have left our state over the past 10 years. And for Governor Pritzker not to mention that in his State of the State speech really was just, I thought that was a leadership failure. I think that, that's equivalent to, you make a trip to the doctor and the doctor compliments you on your weight loss, but neglects to mention that your blood test came back diagnosing you with a serious illness. It's just really, it's not the kind of responsible leadership that we need out of our governor.
Did you say a billion people or a million people when it said left Illinois?
Oh, a million people. Sorry, I get
okay.
It's 856,000 is what the number is.
All right, good. And here's another number: estimated general funds payable backlog $6,297,276,785.66. So, when we look at money, there's another issue, but there's another area where we are deficit ethics. You know, I should I be moderating my expectations for this ethics panel because there are so many people involved and so many moving parts. And then historically, the fact that, that there's corruption, we go, oh, we're surprised. Come on, it's Illinois. I mean, how should I start mediating my expectations on the outcome?
I'm not expecting much out of ethics, the ethics reform that the governor is proposing. And the reason is this. You look at every reform that's being talked about, and those would have done absolutely nothing to stop the conduct of Senator Martin Sandoval. None of the reforms that are being proposed or talked about would have stopped Sandoval from doing what he pled guilty to doing. I'm co-sponsoring a bill. I'm the chief co-sponsor of a bill that would put an end to the revolving door. It would prevent lawmakers from being lobbyists. That's something that might address the conduct that Congressman Arroyo got caught by the feds for. He was the one that was offering $2,500 bribes to another elected official. But really, if you want to do something about corruption in Illinois, I think that the thing that Governor Pritzker can do that will do the most is he needs to say that he needs to keep his campaign promise and only sign a new legislative map that is drawn fairly. We need a Fair Maps proposal, because what the Fair Maps proposal does is it takes away the ability of legislators to draw their own district, and that reduces power. And really, the source of corruption is power. When elected officials can draw their own districts, they don't have to worry about being held accountable by voters, then their sense of entitlement, their sense of hubris goes through the roof, and that's when you start having criminal conduct occur. So the thing that can do the most to fix the corruption in our state is a fair map, and that's something that, once again, was not mentioned once in Governor Pritzker's State of the State speech.
And, it's interesting. When I've talked to the governor personally about that, he says he supports the Fair Maps initiative, too, and I think that's worthy of note. We'll see as we go forward. Here's another thing. You just mentioned Sandoval. He said he's cooperating with investigators. I would think that would make quite a few people in the general neighborhood of Springfield twitchy.
I don't know how much Sandoval is going to have. He wasn't. I didn't have that much in the way of dealings with him. I was on the Senate Transportation Committee. I talked to him about the Southwest Illinois Connector, the four-lane highway that the task force did their report on. But my nighttime activities at Springfield were limited. I always tried to get back to my hotel room in time to be able to help my boys with their homework and talk to them before they went to bed. So I really I haven't been privy to a lot of the after hours wheeling and dealing, so I don't know how much influence Sandoval had and how many people were, in his group.
I sometimes think that some Democratic legislators in Springfield over the last couple of 3 months, or say 2 months, last 2 months, look to Virginia and see what's going on there when it gun control and this new legislation that's been introduced there, and think, you know, we can do that in Illinois because the demographics are similar. We've got the population centers. The rest of the state is not too happy about what's being proposed, but they're surrounded by large numbers that can help them do that in their population centers in the capital. And I wonder, will we see Illinois following the trail of Virginia legislators when it comes to gun issues in this state?
Well, I certainly expect that that the anti-Second Amendment legislators from the Chicago area will make another push probably for the for fingerprints to accompany the FOID. That was one of our few wins that we had last spring. We were able to defeat that proposal to add a fingerprint requirement to the FOID card, which would have been really onerous. But I'm not optimistic that they're going to leave well enough alone. I think, though, the thing that scares me the most about this session is, and this is another thing that Governor Pritzker talked about in his State of the State speech, is I think you're going to have comprehensive energy legislation being pushed, and I really worry about how that's going to impact our downstate coal-powered plants and our Southern Illinois coal industry.
Yeah, it's interesting. I was reading an article this morning. 22 no coal power plants in Japan. And I keep thinking, I wonder if they want to buy some coal.
You know? Well, most of our coal that is mined in Southern Illinois goes out on barges and down the Mississippi River. The coal that is burned in our coal plants in downstate Illinois is Wyoming coal, because it's from the Powder River Basin, and the sulfur content is not as high. But the irony in Governor Pritzker's State of the State speech was, you know, there was, you know, a part of the speech when he was talking about doomsayers and carnival barkers, I think was the term that he used. But then, you know, towards the end of the speech, he started talking about justifying energy legislation because of weather events that he was trying to say were proof of climate change. Now, for those of your listeners that don't know, in my prior life, I was a Marine officer, and I worked at the Pentagon for a number of years, and I was the strategist for the Department of Defense for energy and environment issues. And as part of that job, I interacted with a number of climate scientists. And one of the things that the climate scientists would emphasize is that, you know, the sign of somebody that is a charlatan or somebody that's just not telling the truth is trying to rely on weather events to justify climate proposals. And that's exactly what Governor Pritzker did towards the end of his speech. He was talking about, well, because of the polar vortex, that means we know that climate change is happening.
Right.
And that's something that, you know, to justify climate by weather events is something that, you know, any intellectually honest climate scientist will tell you is just not being straight, not being honest with the facts. You know, so, you know, if we were going to do that, if we were going to follow that pattern, I would say, okay, the next time we have, you know, the next time we have a cold winter, does that mean that, you know, if the weather is really cold, we can have our Southern Illinois coal industry back?
Right. It is interesting. I was reading a similar piece that was talking about how, in fact, Illinois Senator, I believe it was, in 2013, saying global climate change is causing the Great Lakes to drop in level because of evaporation, and now the Great Lakes water is high, and it's because of climate change, too. So if it was down, it was, I mean, right, and so I understand exactly what you're talking about. By the way, we were just talking about the 15% cut across the board. One of our listeners just texted in, says, cut the crap out of the state. 15% cut is nothing. Let's cut 30% and reduce the taxes by 50.
Well, this is an opportunity. I don't think it's the opportunity that Governor Pritzker wanted, but he's saying, okay, if you don't pass my progressive income tax, I'm going to cut spending. And that just sounds that sounds to a lot of us here in downstate Illinois as, you know, that's a feature, not a bug. You know, this may finally be a way that we can get a Democrat, assuming he keeps his promise, to cut spending. That sounds pretty good to me. And that, you know, that kind of takes us to the budget that's coming up this year. I'm going to be really interested to see what Governor Pritzker has to say, because, you know, a member of his own party Comptroller Susana Mendoza just issued a couple days ago a comprehensive financial report on the state of Illinois.
Yes.
And in that annual financial report, she said that during the last year, this is the first year of the Pritzker administration, that Illinois has moved another $4 billion. And this time I've got my units correct. It's billion with a B. Another $4 billion into debt. And that this is in spite of the fact that due to the just the booming economy nationwide, and the tax increase that we had a couple years ago, we've had record revenues coming into the state of Illinois, but yet our financial position has still gotten worse. And the reason it's gotten worse is because last year's budget, we increased spending across the board.
Right.
I voted no on the budget last year, and I think the comptroller's report that has come out really validated my no vote. Mm-hmm. I voted no because I felt like the budget last year, even though it was balanced, if you don't count the bill backlog, it was balanced, but it didn't do anything towards addressing our long-term financial challenges, and in fact, it made it worse because now it makes it that much more difficult to cut spending.
Right. I'm running out of time, but I've got three more questions, so I'm going to try to shoehorn these things in the limited time we have left. Senator Paul Shipp joining us this morning. Another subject you've been working on, and another report just published, I think, week before, the four-lane connector. You've been working on this very hard.
Well, this was something that that we set up a task force because I felt like the proponents of this highway needed an opportunity to make the case for it. This was not my project. This was a grassroots project, really led by Mark Kena from Randolph County. The task force did a tremendous job. They produced a great report. It talked about just the need, not only in terms of economic development, but the safety need for this highway as well. I think now the next step is the task force needs to continue talking with some of the regional chambers of commerce, making sure that we get this on their radar screen, and certainly try to get it onto IDOT's 5-year plan. There's certainly, thanks to the huge amount of gas taxes that we're paying now, there is IDOT money to be spent on this highway.
One of our listeners texting in, I know exactly what they're talking about. Is it true that we're going to have gas attendants for all gas stations in 2021? This is a piece of House legislation. I think the legislator is now backtracking. She was saying we're going to be required. Now I think it can be done at request is the way the new legislation is written. But that's the kind of thing this week the listeners have heard about in the spring session, and we'll hear lots of other pieces of ideas that just drive people nuts.
Well, that proposal, I think, and the competition is pretty stiff on this point, but I think that's the most ridiculous piece of legislation I've come across in my 3 years up in Springfield so far. But I don't think that it was a serious proposal. I think the sponsor probably introduced it just as a favor to a constituent. I don't think it was ever serious. What I am serious about, though, is I have a bill that I filed, and I'm going to be trying to get support for next week when I go back to Springfield. I don't think we should be paying sales tax on tax when we purchase our gasoline. The way it works now when you purchase gasoline is you have the price of the motor fuel, then the state comes in with our new 19 cents a gallon tax, there's federal taxes, there may be local taxes, and then after that, the state of Illinois comes in for a second bite at the apple, charging sales tax on the entire aggregate amount.
Right.
I don't know about you, but I'm really ticked off. It ticks me off every time that I buy gas here in Illinois, and I do buy my gas in Illinois, but I'm paying tax on tax. I think that's wrong, and I think the state of Illinois, it's not going to cost us that much money to redo the way we work that calculation, but we should only be charging sales tax on the underlying motor fuel purchase itself, not on the taxes and fees.
Is that a form of double taxation, Paul? I mean, that used to be the popular term when it was applied when it came to the constitutional view of this type of financial act.
Well, I don't know how you classify it, but I just classify it as wrong and offensive.
And you are a pretty optimistic guy, and I like that about you, Senator, but here's the thing. Can conservatives in downstate Illinois be optimistic about their state?
I think we can, and this is probably a discussion for a different interview. But I do not think all is lost. I think one, we do have I like our arguments, but I think nothing is ever set in stone. I think two, the other side has overreached with some very extreme policy proposals. That makes the political terrain a lot more favorable to us. So I don't think Illinois is a lost cause either politically or just on the whole. Our state has so many advantages, so many resources. We absolutely still have our best days ahead of us.